are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. I worked on a program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports and Television Network. We've got a lot of stuff to get to on the program this afternoon, so let's get right down to business. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, will join us. It's a championship football weekend. We're going to break it down with Mark Lawrence. We'll also talk about the Michigan and North Carolina basketball game that takes place this evening. Ricky Sanders will join us. We'll talk NFL football from a DFS perspective. We are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network, after all. So we're talking some fantasy football. We'll take a look at Week 13 from a DFS perspective. We have the MLS Cup semifinals taking place this evening. One game taking place a free kick away from where I stand right now. TFC and a Columbus Crew. We've got the Houston Dynamo and the Seattle Sounders. Of course, last year, the MLS Cup took place in Toronto. Seattle won the game against Toronto. And I'm telling you what, we're going to have a rematch once again. But we're going to break it down. We'll get a soccer expert's opinion on this. Al Vartanian. Vartanian. Coolest name at the network. You know, we've said it before, Tony Cicada has the best radio promos, but if we're going as far as names are concerned, like Al Vartanian, it's just a credible name. It just is. Like, it works for anything. Like, if you're doctor, hi, I'm Dr. Vartanian. You know, you'd be like, yeah, my doctor. Coach Vartanian. Hey, Coach Vartanian. You know, Coach Vartanian sounds like a college basketball coach. Hell, he could even be a male porn star. Al Vartanian. Yeah, it just works. Like, you name whatever field, mechanic. Hey, what's your mechanic's name? Oh, good guy, Al Vartanian. You know, my butcher. What's your butcher's name? Great guy, my butcher. Great, great pork ribs. Al Vartanian, Vartanian Meats. Vartanian Carpet Cleaners. Vartanian Law Firm. Vartanian Furniture. Vartanian Tiles. You looking for tiles? Come down to Vartanian's. We got it. You looking for a bathtub? You want to fit a new bathtub? I can fit a new bathtub. I know a guy, Al Vartanian. Best bathtubs in the business. You looking for a fur coat? Vartanian's Fur. You know, it just works for everything. Al Vartanian joins us on the program. All right, let's go. What do we got? We got a lot of basketball on the board today. We got some NHL hockey. Oh, yeah, Eli Manning. Eli Manning's been benched because McAdoo is a clown, man. The dude is a clown. And just when you think the NFL can't get any worse, hey, enter Geno Smith. But Colin Kaepernick sucks. I know. Like, really? Geno Smith? You're going to screw over a guy to start a 210 consecutive football game for Geno freaking Smith, man? Listen, I'm no Eli Manning fan. I'm the one, and I own the copyright to it. I'm the one that calls Eli Manning a Capital City goofball. I guess we're going to be calling the Mile High City goofball soon. Eli Manning will be a Denver Bronco next year. Or McAdoo gets fired and he's a Giant. I don't know what the hell's going on with the Giants. And truth be told, I really don't care what's going on with the New York Giants. Okay, let's get down to business. There's a lot going on in the world of sports, including Eli Manning. But to me, today is all about one thing. There's been a lot of big time memorable mistakes in sports history, all right? Like, the ones that you remember where you were when they happened, the ones that are still talked about 30, 40, 50 years after the fact, the ones that will always be talked about, the ones that are just known sort of like for one word, just one word. You know, Ernest Biner and the fumble. You know, it's hard to believe for you young ones out there, but the Cleveland Browns actually used to be good. And the Cleveland Browns were about to go to the Super Bowl, but they fumbled on the one freaking yard line. And it's now known as the fumble. All right. Hey, the Calgary Stampeders had their own fumble the other day that actually cost them a Grey Cup as well. We got Bartman. You know, Bartman and the Cubs. Dumbass kid with the headphones reaches over to catch the ball. Listen, the Chicago Cubs, that wasn't even game 7. Alex Gonzalez was booting the ball around like freaking Pelé at shortstop all game. You know, it wasn't fully Bartman's fault. It was partially Bartman's fault. But it wasn't all Bartman's fault. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. Scott Norwood, the missed kick. Yeah, it's a rough one. It's a rough one. I was telling the story actually last night on my radio/podcast webcast about Scott Norwood when he missed the field goal. I got up with a baseball bat. This is 1991. Got up with a baseball bat. I was about to smash the TV. I was in like mid, like, and my roommate said, whoa, 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 that's my TV. I was like, I sort of like, you know, and I don't know what I was thinking. I was living in Hollywood, California. I just sort of ran out onto the street and I started smashing a parking meter with a baseball bat. And like parts of like the meter and like all this stuff. I smashed like a bunch of stuff on the sidewalk or anything I could hit. And a bunch of debris hit a taxi outside of the Holiday Inn in Hollywood. And a taxi driver got out with like a taser. I tase you. I hit the bat and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty hostile. I remember that. Scott Norwood. But when I see the Scott Norwood miss kick, I sort of get mad. All right, I'm just sort of like, whatever, man. Like, you know, we should have got the ball closer. Thurman Thomas told Jim Kelly in the huddle, give me the ball one more time. He said, give me the ball one more time. I'll get us a few more yards. I'll get out of bounds. Jim Kelly ignored him. All right, we all knew Norwood was money from 45 in. Anything from 45 out was going to be a gamble. And that kick was from 47. I get upset about that. But it's more anger. What I do get upset about is the Chris Webber timeout. And I can't believe that it's been 24 years since Chris Webber's infamous timeout. And as you can see, I'm wearing my Michigan Wolverine jersey today. I actually have a Chris Webber basketball jersey. It's actually 25 years old. And I don't know why I still have it, but I do. I've lost a lot of stuff over the years. All right? I still have the jersey. I was going to wear it, but it's too small. It shrunk. It's been beat up. All right? It's been shrunk and beat up like myself. But I can't believe it's been 24 years since the Chris Webber timeout. And we're going to go down a little history lesson for those of you that are unaware, because I know a lot of you are unaware of this. But what's even more amazing about this is the fact that the Michigan Wolverines and the North Carolina Tar Heels have not played each other in 24 years. How is that possible? Two-story basketball programs that go deep in the tournament all the time. How do they not cross paths in one of these weird tournaments? And, you know, the ACC plays a Big Ten. I mean, the fact they haven't played each other is just, it's mind-numbingly insane. It's mind-numbingly insane. But to go down, memory lane here a little bit, Chris Webber, of course, called timeout. All right? They didn't have any timeouts left. There's about 11 seconds left at the time. Now, the fact is, he traveled to begin with. We're lucky they didn't call traveling. He calls timeout when it's all said and done. They don't have any timeouts. It was 73-71 for North Carolina. North Carolina, it's a technical. They go on to win the national championship. And the Fab Five fell short. For me, and, you know, I've been a sports fan my entire life. I grew up in a sports family. I'm very passionate about it. Never have I been more into a team than I was the Fab Five. Blood, sweat, and tears. You know, I was younger. I knew everything about it, man. I only wore Michigan tracksuits at the freaking time. Like, I lived and breathed and died and bet every damn cent I had on these guys. I probably would have taken a bullet for them. I was part of that team. Anybody that followed that team was part of that team. We were family. It was different back then. I can't put it into words, and only people who follow that team know what I'm talking about. That Fab Five, I can't watch that Fab Five 30 for 30 without breaking down. And I'll admit it, I broke down twice and then a third time, and now I just don't watch it anymore. When Steve Fisher says, when I still have tough losses at San Diego State, and the phone rings and it's the guys, that's tough. That's tough. Watching Chris Webber walk off the court as a teenager in tears was tough. And you know what's amazing? Michigan fell short, and to me, it was a life lesson early in my life. It was a lesson that despite how bad you want something, and despite the fact that you'll pour everything that you have into it, you can still lose and fall short. It's reality. Michigan gave it their all. They lost against Duke as freshmen. They made it back to the championship game. It was ours. They lost. Chris Webber called timeout. He traveled. It is what it is, and the rest is history. But ultimately, you know, for people that are, don't really understand the magnitude of how big the Fab Five were, they changed the game. What you watch now in basketball is because of those kids. That was the first time in history that five freshmen had ever started together, okay? Freshmen used to not play. You look at basketball highlights, man, and these guys used to wear shorts tighter than a Playboy Playmate, okay? Michigan were the first team to wear baggy shorts. They were the first team to wear black shoes. They were the first team to wear no socks. They were the first team to talk trash. They, you know, UNLV set the table at, you know, the Running Rebels, and then Michigan took it to a whole new other level and introduced us to the cool-ass sport of college basketball as we know it right now. What's amazing is that Michigan and the Fab Five never won a damn thing. They never won a Big Ten title, and they never won a national title. They made it to back-to-back national title games and fell short both times. Yet still, to this day, are one of the most discussed and remembered and glorified college basketball teams in the history of the sport. I guarantee you, for people like me and other people that lived, breathed, and died and cried through this stuff, it's not an easy day. And I know it's not going to be an easy day for everybody that's been involved in this thing. Chris Webber, five-time All-Star, NBA Rookie of the Year, great analyst, and maybe his greatest accomplishment of all, sleeping with Tyra Banks, will always be remembered for one thing, the timeout. And as unfortunate as it is, it's not something that you ever forget. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Al Vartanian will join us in studio. We're going to talk some LS Cup playoffs. I look forward to laying it down. I got some big plays coming up on this soccer tonight. Ricky Sanders will join us. We'll talk some NFL DFS. Ricky's one of the best in the business, one of my favorite guests. Always love talking fantasy football with Ricky Sanders. And let's bring Mark Lawrence in right now. Joins us every Wednesday, playbook.com. Mark Lawrence, and one of the few people... you know, I guess I'm just getting old and stuff because I'm around a lot of people that don't really know much or remember much about the Chris Webber timeout. We'll get to some college football and championship weekend momentarily here. But, Mark, North Carolina and Michigan tonight, basketball, should be a good game. You know, as a Michigan fan, I'm a little bit disappointed the Tar Heels were embarrassed the other night against Sparty because the Tar Heels are going to be in a foul mood this evening. But it's amazing to me that it's been 24 years since the Chris Webber timeout. It feels like, you know, if you would ask me how long ago that was, you know, I know it's longer, but it feels like it's been 15 years, not 24 years, but it feels like it's been forever. And I can't freaking believe that Michigan and North Carolina have not crossed paths in some tournament at one point or another after all these years. That tonight's the first time they're playing each other.
Yeah, you would think in this day of ESPN television that this game would have been orchestrated, been a primetime game. Many, many times after that infamous 77-71 tournament loss, as you mentioned here. But it isn't. It's the first time they're meeting since then, and I have to scratch my head a little bit. I know, as you say, North Carolina out there, tough loss. Michigan cruising here right now. But John Beilein catching this many points seems a lot pretty attractive to me. I mean, I know North Carolina's going to win with their back to the wall, but this is a lot of points to give John Beilein.
Yeah, it really is. For a 6-1 Michigan basketball team that shoots the lights out, hitting 61% of their two-point field goal attempts, shooting 50% overall from the field. You know, and the thing with Michigan, they play a pretty slow tempo. So it's hard to pull away from them. They're playing a slower tempo. They play a slow tempo, and they have the one of the slowest. I think they're like 350th in the nation with their adjusted tempo. But, Mark, they're so efficient. You know, they're like 26th with offensive efficiency. So they sort of milk the shot clock, but they often score at the end of that milking of the shot clock.
That's a Beilein thing, you know, much like Pete Carroll of Princeton in his days when he would maximize the clock and take the highest percentage shot that he could. Beilein's teams do much the same thing. It's a main reason why in his career as a dog of 9 or more points, he's 42-28 to the spread a pretty attractive role here for the Wolverines tonight.
Yeah, and I know that these kids right now, they weren't alive when this happened, literally and figuratively. It's hard to believe, but, you know, you got a bunch of 18 to 19-year-old kids playing for Michigan. They were not alive for this timeout stuff. But I hope that Beilein goes down memory lane a little bit and says, listen, guys, 24, you know, Chris Webber, you know, kind of a big deal around these parts. You know, explain to them what it means, you know, what this game would mean to Michigan and to win this game somehow in North Carolina. It's not revenge, but just to put it in perspective a little bit, Mark, going back 24 years, number one movie at the box office, Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow.
I remember when it came out, yeah, great wow. Special effects at the time.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Number one song. What do you think the number one song was?
1991. I'm not a 90s music guy, so you tell me. I may not even know the title. Go ahead.
No, you're going to know this one. I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, yeah. Big time, yeah.
May she rest in peace. And for the record, that was the Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup. Last time a team from Canada won the Stanley Cup, actually. All right, so, yeah, I'll give you a pick for the college basketball game a little bit later on, but I do like the underdog. So let's jump in and talk some football right now. We've got a record 7 rematch games from earlier in the year this weekend. For what it's worth, same season, Revengers are 12-18 straight up and 13-17 against the spread in the conference championship contest. Favorites in the Big Ten struggle in the Big Ten championship game. 2-4 straight up and 0-6 against the point spread. Puts Ohio State in an 0-6 situation. So let's jump in and talk about Friday's football game. Pac-12 championship at the home of the San Francisco 49ers. So finally, a good football game is going to be played on this field this year. Stanford versus USC. USC Trojans laying 4 points. And, you know, as soon as I saw that line, I'm like, man, David Shaw plus the points with a physical smash-mouth football team. Sign me up.
You got to look that way. David Shaw in his best role in his career taking points, and his team's playing as good as they have been all season long right now coming into this game here. What a lot of people aren't giving Stanford credit for is the proximity of this game. This game is it's a neighborhood game for them. So Southern Cal's, for all intents and purposes, laying 4 points away from home on the road in this contest, and you've got the big-time revenge for Stanford there. They lost earlier this year by 18 points to the Trojans.
Yeah, and you know, Stanford's won 8 of their last 9 football games. The quarterback change has been nice. Costello has stepped up and in. He can throw the ball down the field a little bit. Bryce Love, to me, is the most underrated player in college football. Last year, McCaffrey used to score a touchdown, and you know, they'd stop, and they'd cut in. And, oh, my God, Christian McCaffrey scores another touchdown, does this, that. This kid has bigger numbers than McCaffrey yet. Oh, well, whatever. Nobody seems to care. He's going to fall just short of the Barry Sanders stuff unless he really goes off here. You know, these teams met on September 9 in Los Angeles. The Trojans had a great game that game. They put up 623 yards of offense. You know that David Shaw is going to remember that. And how about this? The South Division is 0-6 in Pac-12 championship games. The USC come from the South Division of the Pac-12. Man, you know, USC a money burning 2-8 against the spread in their last 10 neutral site conference games. I've got to take the Cardinals in this game.
I do too, Gabe. We mentioned about David Shaw's terrific underdog record, 11-3 to the spread in his career, 9 straight up wins in those football games. So if you like the Cardinal in this game, you have to also look at them on the money line. And also, you got an extra week of rest for USC to prepare. That's not been good in conference championship games. The other guy that has revenge going into those rested guys has won the money 8 out of 11 times. So I think everything stacks up real well for Stanford in this football game.
Yeah, you look at Stanford, they score 32 points a game. USC scored 34 points a game. All right, so very, very evenly matched on offense. Big difference. Stanford only give up 20 points a game, and USC's giving up nearly 27. There's a massive difference as far as the defenses are concerned. Well, there were not going to be a lot of defense in this Memphis-Central Florida game. The South Florida-Central Florida game, best college football game of the year by far, was awesome. It's too bad one of the teams had to lose, but that's sports. Quentin Flowers laid his heart on the line, man. And I got a little choked up talking about Michigan earlier. I legitimately got choked up when it was all the parents came out for the last game of the year. The parents came out with all the South Florida Bull players. And Quentin Flowers doesn't have any parents. And he came out with the coach. And, man, I got choked up from that. And the team came over after. And then he goes out there and he puts up over 600 yards of offense. Fell just short. That's what college sports is all about to me, man. Now you got Memphis. everyone's loving Scott Frost, and I get it. And, you know, these guys are going to go to a big-time bowl game if they win this. But this Memphis Tiger team only lost one game this year, and it was to this Central Florida team. It's just hard to get in front of these guys. I love taking underdogs, Mark, in these spots. But you look at Central Florida, and, man, they're a team of destiny, and they're just a freaking machine on offense, man.
They are. You talk about that revenge here. If applying revenge in these conference championship games means anything, the one thing you don't want to do is step in front of a good team. 0-6 to the spread with revenge, or 0-6 straight up, 1-5, I should say, to the number, against a 9-16 or better team. That's what Memphis is going into against Central Florida in this football contest here. Undefeated teams like Central Florida is, they're 18-10 straight up, only 13-15 to the spread. But at home, a perfect 2-0. I'm going to look at Central Florida in this game to continue their winning ways. I like what they've done at home. They're undefeated here this year. I think they've got Memphis's number.
Yeah, this is so, you know, some of these conference games, guys, we'll let you know where each one is. Some of them are on neutral fields. A few of them are on home fields, et cetera. This one is one of them. It's on a home field. Central Florida, the game is in Orlando. You know, let's just cut to the chase, though. Let's bet the over this game, Mark. the over is 80-82. Yeah, both teams have been placed to the over, despite the fact they have high overs. The Tigers are 8-3 to the over on the year, and the Knights are 7-4 on the over to the year. I know the game earlier this year played to the under at 40-14, but, you know, there's not a lot of locks in the world, but I guarantee you guys, there'll be more than 54 points scored in this football game.
Well, there'll be a lot of points scored here. My only question, Gabe, is this the highest total ever in a conference championship game? And
wow.
Rightfully so.
It
rightfully
is, huh?
So. Yes, it is. And because of the offenses, there's no question about that. And a little bit of lack of defense on each side as well. So, but I'm with you. I think this will be a well-lit scoreboard in this football game.
Interesting. I learn something all the time, Mark. So, the highest total ever for a conference championship football game. Interesting. All right.
Yes, it is.
This next game, I'm kind of wavering. I look forward to your opinion on this one. I tell you, I'm leaning with the favorite in this one as well. I think, you know, yes, you can make a case for TCU. I get it. You know, you can make an argument about their defense. You can make an argument about the revenge. You can make an argument about Patterson getting points like this and all this stuff. But I don't know, man. I look at the eyeball test, and this Oklahoma team's not a team I really want to get in front of right now.
Yeah, they're rolling right now. A lot of people think they should be the number one team in the rankings right now. They're number two coming into this football game. And in fact, they're one of only three teams in all of college football this year that has out-yarded every opponent they've played this year. The other guy is Wisconsin, and the third guy, unbelievably, is South Florida, the team we just talked about. They've outstated everybody they've played. So Oklahoma will take care of the stats in this football game. TCU brings the better defense in here, however, 71 yards a game, the better defense to TCU in this contest. And I got to say the coaching edge has to go to Gary Patterson over the rookie Lincoln Riley in this contest here. But I'm with you, Gabe. I don't know if I want to step in front of Oklahoma right now at this stage of the season.
Oklahoma Sooners, guys, they're averaging 45.2 points per game. It's hard to beat when the team just wakes up with 45 in their back pocket. 20, and you know going in, they're going to want to lay an emphatics, as, you know, because the rankings sort of do matter now, Mark, because, you know, you'd rather be in that one spot, you know, and get the 1-4 than the 2-3, you know, depending on who you're going to end up playing. But I don't know, maybe that 4 ends up being Alabama. You know, we're going to see how it plays out. But we'll get to the Big Ten game in a second. My deal here is, and I find it interesting from your database, Mark, Coach Patterson, great coach, but he's 8-20 with one push against the spread if he loses. So it's sort of an all or nothing, isn't it? He's going to win outright, or they're going to get blown out, basically, TCU.
It's an all or nothing here. Here's the interesting equation in the game, Gabe, however. Of all the two-loss teams, if you want to take a flyer on a team to win the football playoffs, TCU is 100-1 as we're speaking. 100-1 for a TCU football team. All you need to do is to make the playoffs, and anything can happen, as you well know. If they pull the rug in Oklahoma here and do it sort of like an Ohio State-Wisconsin fashion and end up sneaking into the playoffs, I'd love to have the 100-1 ticket in my back pocket.
I got to tell you, it's frustrating, but it's fascinating in a sense that we really don't know who's going to be in the playoffs still, Mark. You know,
that's right.
The past couple of years, we've sort of known, you know, this team and there's one spot. This year, there's a lot of domino effects that can happen. All right, so SEC championship game. So as far as TCU and Oklahoma, you know, you're leaning with the Sooners here. And the database kind of says the Sooners, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does say the Sooners. And, you know, for all the right reasons here, the offense, the powerful football team. TCU's shown they can be vulnerable in certain spots. This could be one of those spots. But if the upset were to occur, I've got that 101 ticket that I bought.
All right, Mark, this next game, man, this next game, my mind is like, oh, boy, it's a tough one. It's a real tough one, the SEC championship game. So just for the record here, as we go down the list, Stanford, USC not in the playoff picture. Central Florida wins. They're going to go to the Cotton Bowl or one of these, you know, Peach Bowl, whatever, one of the big money bowl games. Oklahoma wins. They're in. TCU wins. Maybe they're in. They need some stuff to happen. Georgia, Auburn. SEC Conference Championship game, Atlanta. Winner's getting in. This is clear cut. You win this football game, you're in the playoffs. I was all over the Auburn Tigers against Georgia a couple of weeks ago. And I was kind of in the minority for the most part. I know you liked Auburn too. I was kind of, we were in a minority for the most part, though. People were kind of surprised by that result. I expected it. I bet pretty big. It was one of my bigger bets of the year. Now I'm not so sure. I know, man, these dogs, man, they're going to be foaming at the mouth, man. Can you imagine if you're Georgia and you saw, oh, my God, A, we don't have to play Alabama, and B, we get the son of a bitches that beat us.
That's exactly
like,
right.
And if you're Auburn, this is tough. You beat Georgia, you beat Alabama. Are you that good that you can beat Georgia again right now? This is real tough. I was on Auburn the first game. I'm starting to think dogs this time.
I'm with you on the dog in this football game. I think the dog is a real nice side in this game, Gabe. First of all, both of those Auburn wins against those number one teams were at home on their home field. That's not the case in this football game. The two times that Georgia has met Auburn with Kirby Smart, the underdog has won straight up in both of those football games. You've got the number four ranked defense in the Georgia Bulldogs in this football game. And this is a Georgia team that started the year 9-0 for the first time since 1982. And then along came Auburn in the big upset win here. Off that big high over the Alabama win, I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia rolls in this football game. I like the dogs real good in this contest.
And we were talking about Stanford home game. Where's this game? It's in Atlanta.
That's exactly
right.
It's
at the Mercedes-Benz Center, or whatever they call it, a stadium, whatever the hell it's called. It's a home game for the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, I know Auburn will travel a bit, but a big game. I do prefer Gus Malzahn to Kirby Smart coaching. Yet, I don't know, it seems like it's a year of the upstart young coach, isn't it? Lincoln Riley, Kirby Smart.
Well, you know, we wrote up in the Playbook newsletter, there's a great line one of our writers wrote about Gus Malzahn and that smirky smile he had on his face at the football game. And we used a German phrase, and I can't quite recall it as we're speaking now, but that phrase meant, well, I'd love to slap that smile right off your face, because that's the feeling Georgia's going to have going into this football game with Gus Malzahn just on top of cloud nine after that Alabama win. Look for that smile to disappear after this game.
Yeah, I'm taking Georgia. Georgia. All right, before we get out of here, we've got to talk about the Big Ten championship game. The Ohio State Buckeyes now laying 6.5 points against Wisconsin Badgers. Badgers win, and they're in. No way in hell a 13-0 big 13-0 Big Ten team's not getting into the playoff. Ohio State wins. I'm not so sure. I think if Ohio State wins, they'll put Alabama, one loss Bama in before they'll put Ohio State in, but I could be wrong about that. But I'll tell you, I was on Michigan last week, and you know, listen, Michigan covered the point spread, and they could have won that game outright if O'Korn just, you know, wouldn't have played like John O'Korn. I got to take the Badgers plus the points in this game, and I didn't even know about the dominance of the underdog from the database here, Mark, in which, Big Ten championship game, the favorite is 0-6 against the spread in this contest.
Yeah, unbelievable. Only won two games straight up. So it's been all underdog in this Big Ten championship matchup here. And you got to tip your hat to Wisconsin here. They've done this without their best football player all year long. Their linebacker, Jack Ceci, has been out all season long. And yet they're the best defensive team in the country. Number one ranked dog in the country as the underdog.
12 points a game they give up only.
Exactly. Number one in total yardage this football season here. They've won the stats in every football game they've played here. And, you know, if Ohio State wins this game, they're going to be in the same role that Penn State was last year. The Big Ten champion with two losses didn't make the playoffs. That's going to happen to Ohio State if they win this game, because there's other better teams in Ohio State. I think Ohio State wins and the Big Ten gets shut out. That's why Whiskey needs to win this football game.
Yeah, you know what? And we got to get out of here. But I think Ohio State are a little overrated. You know, Ohio State beat the crap out of bad teams, and when they play a good team, they get lucky wins. The last week, the refereeing was atrocious. You know, the QB's getting hurt. They've had a lot. You know, they're to me, Michigan could have beaten these guys, and Wisconsin's better than Michigan. You know, Wisconsin can do what Michigan wanted to do but couldn't pull off. I think Wisconsin could just, you know, Ohio State are a big, flashy, speed-based team. I think Wisconsin could just line up and run the ball down their throat, play physical, force the quarterbacks. And what's the deal? Is it going to be Haskins, I guess, or Barrett? What's the deal?
I guess it's going to be Barrett. The word is Barrett's going to play this football game. But like you said, Ohio State sulks in football games when things don't go their way.
Yep.
And in getting out of here, Gabe, as we end this segment here, the team picked to win, number one favorite right now to win the college football playoffs, is still Alabama.
Wow.
Alabama's plus 250, and they're not even in the top four. So scratch your head, go figure that one out. I don't know what that means.
We couldn't get to every game. I got to leave a couple of crumbs for our boy Joe Lisi tomorrow to hit, right?
So yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you know, we didn't get, but quickly on the way out, just quick, Clemson, Miami. I didn't Clemson roll.
Well, I'm on the other side of the football game. Defending national champions really struggle in conference games the next year, and Miami's got this big chip on their shoulder here. They've only lost by more than 10 points one time under Mark Richt. I'm going to grab the points.
Mark Lawrence, great stuff as always. Thanks for your insight. We encourage people, if you want to win some money this weekend, go over to playbook.com on your computer or on your mobile device. Just go over to Google Store. Playbook's available in the cube. And it's great stuff. You'll be so informed, and you get a ton of information. Thanks for the time, Mark. You're the best. Thanks for the time.
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. Enjoy the games. Be good.
All right, Ricky Sanders, VP of Operations, Roto Curve, steps up and in next. I'm going to throw some fastballs at the curveball guy.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's get right down to business, man. I want to get to as many players as possible. Let's bring in Ricky Sanders, Vice President of Operations at Roto Curve, one of my favorite fantasy guys in the business. Ricky, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Doing well. Didn't know it was throwback jersey day, but happy to be here.
Yeah, that's right. I know. What throwback jersey do you have? You know, one of my favorites. I've got an old Warren Moon, the old baby blue, powder blue Houston Oilers. And one of my all-time favorite jerseys, both happen to be in a storage locker in Las Vegas right now, is my Walter Payton jersey. Love my Walter Payton jersey. Bears.
I don't think this will surprise you. Deion and Barry Sanders, my two throwbacks.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. nothing wrong. I got a nice Jim Brown, Cleveland Browns, actually.
There you go.
I got someone was trolling me on the Fantasy YouTube page. I was giving picks. Like, why would I listen to some guy wearing a Brown jersey? I had to, I don't always comment. I comment. I said, hey, punk ass. I said, why don't you look up Jim Brown before you spout your mouth?
Yeah,
but nevertheless, speaking of legends, I don't know. We overthink and think Tom Brady's just almost automatic, isn't he? If you just, cut to the chase and you don't have a lot of time in your life, who do I want a quarterback? Tom Brady. He's just a basic automatic 20 plus taking on the Buffalo Bills. He's the most expensive guy on the board this week.
Yeah, the problem with Brady is, like, there isn't huge upside there right now, which sounds crazy to say about Brady, but, if we're talking daily fantasy football, if you're spending that top price, you want guys who are flirting with 40 fantasy points. He's topped 22 fantasy points just once in his last seven games. So, like, he's a very good bet to get you, mid-200 yards, multiple touchdowns. But when, passing touchdowns are only four fantasy points, it's not the world's greatest. I mean, you look at this Bills team, without Marcell Dareus, 173.3 rushing yards allowed per game. So I actually think they're going to rely heavily on their trio of backs. And I know Gronkowski's had a good sample against them, at least 100 yards receiving and a touchdown in two of his last four. And the Bills have been bad recently in terms of passing as well. But, like, if you're paying that price, you need 300 yards and 3+ touchdowns to start talking about, you know, a lineup that would be competitive in a millionaire maker contest or something like that. So I don't love that price tag for Brady.
I agree. And that's why I generally stay away from him. But he's that safe player. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get 20 to 22 points. You're right. I don't know. I have a weird feeling about this game that the Bills are going to play well, actually. I think they're going to get in his face and get after him. It's the Bills season's on the line, playoff. I just got a sneaky feeling it's going to be a tougher game for the Bills. It's not going to be a rout or anything like that. Carson Wentz is $7,200. He's on the road. We know 2/3 of the Legion of Boom are gone. But actually, they held Matt Ryan to 195 yards. It's a lot of talk. Oh, you can throw on him. You can throw on him. You know, I can almost discount last week's game against San Francisco. But Matt Ryan didn't kill them in this spot. Russell Wilson is $7,100. He's a great – you talk about upside. That upside is there because he's the offense. They throw 71% of the time. He can run the ball. They don't have any running game. They're probably going to be playing from behind in this game against Philadelphia. Are you interested in Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz at all?
Yeah, I think you have to have more interest in Wilson this week. I mean, it's hard to project him in these kind of matchups because there's some good pass rushers here on Philly, but Russell Wilson is so good under pressure. He's legitimately the best quarterback in the NFL when under pressure. So even if they get in his face, he could step up, still make a play downfield. I mean, these corners are a bit suspect, so he should be able to beat them. I definitely like him better. But the matchup is tough. I mean, I think there are some other quarterbacks in this tier that I prefer to both, even though Russell Wilson is fantasy's number one scoring quarterback, but he's not a guy that I would want to discount. I mean, Brady, like I said, limited ceiling. The ceiling is not limited for Russell Wilson. So if he is able to get away from this pass rush, he should have himself a big day.
All right, there's two cornerbacks that you have your eye on. Let me throw one guy at you, and we'll get to your two guys here. And I want your opinion on this because I think he's going to have a big game. But I didn't know, is it worth spending the $7,000 on Rivers or the $7,100 on Wilson? Is it that much of a guarantee? Because Rivers hasn't put up massive numbers, but he did last in the last game. But I like the matchup here against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns have given up 22 touchdown passes this year. Keenan Allen is smoking hot. I don't think anyone's going to stop him. The Browns have given up the 10th most points to quarterbacks. From a team perspective, the Chargers are playing well. They're, you know, they got the playoffs in their sights. They're back at home right now. He's thrown 7 touchdown passes in his last 3 games. And I actually think there'll be some points put up on the board. I think Cleveland will be able to score a bit as well. I like the over from a betting perspective in this game. So I think Phillip Rivers probably throws 3 touchdown passes. But is he worth the money in your opinion?
Yeah, I think he's rolling heading into this game. I know 1 week doesn't necessarily correlate to the next, but 81.8% completion rate last week. That was easily his best of the season. And he's feeling it right now with Keenan Allen. I think the number is Allen's caught 23 of 27 targets over the last 2 weeks. So whenever that's the case, I mean, you look at this Cleveland team, and all you ever really worry about is, like, if there's a top outside receiver. If you got someone like an A.J. Green, this defense can cover him. But going from the slot, I don't really worry about that. I don't think McCourty's going to come over and cover and shadow him in the slot, which means Keenan Allen should have himself a monster day. This is an awful defense against tight ends, so Hunter Henry should have his way. I mean, they've allowed 2+ touchdowns to all but 2 quarterbacks this year. So, yeah, Phillip Rivers, I think I'd rather pay that price for him, which is crazy to say considering the seasons that these two guys have had.
A guy that you're looking at is Cam Newton, $6,800 over at DK. Saints gave up the 18 most points to quarterbacks. Key, obviously, here is Marshawn Lattimore, what his status is going to be. But you're taking a look at Cam Newton this week, aren't you?
Yeah, I hate to go by trends because I know they're not the same defense. This defense has gotten much better. But if we can eliminate Lattimore and Crawley, which we don't know yet, we haven't seen the practice reports. But the last 3 games in the Superdome for Cam Newton, here are his fantasy points. 31, 40.1, and 35.3 DraftKings fantasy points. I mean, this atmosphere is obviously conducive to fantasy points. It's like almost 10% more here as opposed to any other stadium. So we're talking a decent little boost here. And Greg Olsen's foot, I think that's really important, has been deemed to be okay. So he should play this week. So you're going to have Cam Newton again with his full allotment, assuming Devin Funchess is fine. I saw that he sat out today. But you're going to have Cam Newton with a full arsenal. I actually like both the quarterbacks in this game. I just want to touch on Breeze for a second. I mean, Carolina's one of the best rushing defenses, and They have two of the best cover linebackers. So I think this is going to be a tough game for their running game for the first time in a while. So if you think that they have to funnel to the passing game, this could actually be one of his bigger games. I just wanted to touch on him really quick as well, because I think this is going to be a really nice shootout for fantasy purposes. Like, these are two of the upper echelon quarterbacks that I will be focusing my exposure on.
Yeah, I think it can open up. I'm kind of tempted with Case Keenum again. Nobody ever wants to own him. I think he might be able to do some damage in a higher scoring game, but we got to get out of here. But the other guy you had your eye on, big game for the Kansas City Chiefs against the New York Jets, but you think Josh McCown might be worth a look?
Yeah, I mean, over the last 2 weeks, Chiefs have faced the Giants and Bills, so not really relying on that. Only 10 teams have allowed more fantasy points to quarterbacks than the Chiefs, and they've still allowed the seventh most passing yards, including the most touchdowns to receivers, and McCown's heavily reliant upon Robbie Anderson, we know that, and Jermaine Kearse, Marcus Peters. So I think Josh McCown has a great shot to beat this defense.
Ricky, it's always a pleasure, my man. You can follow Ricky on Twitter, rsandersdfs, VP of Operations at RotoCurve. Thanks for the time, Ricky.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Al Vartanian joins me next in studio.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Al Vartanian into the studio. Of course, Al is the co-host of the Full 90 with Marty Levenois every Monday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Network, breaking down the beautiful game that we call football. And you know what? The NFL sucks so hard that this is the real football. The NFL is just sort of, eh, this is the real deal. All right, MLS Cup semifinals, second legs go down this evening. TFC in Columbus, the Columbus Crew. This is at BMO Field in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. They played to a scoreless draw last week in Ohio. But Jose Aldenor and Sebastian Giovinco did not play in this game. So the TFC didn't have the duo's 31 goals. And I'll tell you what, TFC are 13-1-3 on their home pitch this year. Good for an 8.53 winning percentage. Good luck, Columbus. TFC win this game tonight, Vartanian.
Best team in the MLS. If they win the MLS Cup, I think they go down as probably the best team in MLS history.
Wow.
And I know you want to talk about how they haven't been scoring goals. That match against Columbus, where it was 0-0, as you said, they're missing Giovinco and Altidore. Greg Vanney, their manager, had to change that formation completely. They're used to playing 3-5-2 with Altidore and Giovinco up top. He decided to go with a 4-1-4-1. With Tosin Ricketts up top being the pace. So what that formation allows you to do is to soak up pressure and counterattack, because they didn't have their best players. So that 3-5-2 system is suited for Giovinco and Altidore. They didn't have that. So like, hey, let's go to Columbus, sit back, 0-0. If we get a chance on the break, we'll use Ricketts' pace to score, but they didn't get that chance. But coming away without your two best players in the playoffs, 0-0, it's a huge accomplishment.
Oh, it was a major victory.
Yeah.
It was a major victory for them. Now, listen, Columbus have had a hard time scoring. They're 2-1-1 in the playoffs despite being outshot three times. The Crew have not scored in 180 minutes time. The total is 2.5, pretty cold. So one thing I don't understand with the MLS playoffs, they draw them out too long. And it's too spacious in between the games.
Yeah.
You know, like, they played last Wednesday, whatever it was. Should have played on the weekend. You know, like, even I'm into it, but it's like, when are you playing again? Oh, I got to wait this long?
Yeah,
and then after this, like, what? You guys going to wait till it's even colder out? Like, last year was ridiculous how cold it was, and it looks like it's going to be the same thing again. But Columbus, they're in tough here. They're a scrappy team. I like TFC to win. I'm looking at 2-0. I think I like the under 2.5, and I like TFC to win the game.
I like the same scoreline, 2-0 for Toronto FC. I think the first 15 minutes are crucial. Toronto FC have scored 8 goals in the first quarter hour of the game, which is the most in the MLS.
Really?
So they have to come out hard. And I think Greg Vanney is telling them, listen.
So Cornet have scored 8 goals in the first 15 minutes?
In the first 15 minutes.
Wow, that's something to keep our eye on for prop bettors.
And listen, they have to win this match, right? A draw. If it's 1-1 or any other scoreline, it goes to Columbus when it comes to a draw. If it's 0-0, then it goes to extra time. So I think Greg Vanney and Toronto FC know, listen, let's get some of the pressure off early, score that first 15. So I think they're going to be all over Columbus. And the thing with Columbus, they like playing with the ball, and they're not going to have any of it because TFC are going to dominate. They're at home. It's 0-0. They got their two best players back. They're going back to their favorite formation, which got them.
Yeah, I like where you're going. TFC going to start the game with we score a goal right away. 100%, they're going to feed Giovinco, feed him, and Altidore. All right, time just goes by too fast. Yeah. We have Seattle, and there's line movement. TFC were -175. It's up to -200 right now. I'm going to give you my soccer picks at the end of the show, but Seattle. Now back at home, they scored a 2-0 win on the road against the Houston Dynamo. Yeah, but Seattle, man, they're champions in their pedigree. Guys like Clint Dempsey and stuff, these guys don't let up. And they're saying, we don't care that it's 2-0.
Yeah.
We're back at home, and we're not easing up. We're going to play this game. We're going to try to score. I think they're going to win outright. They're not going to play for any aggregate crap. Seattle's going to roll tonight.
This is going to be Seattle's game. And a player like Clint Dempsey will love this game because there's going to be so much pace. Because
Houston's going to have to open it up big
time.
Exactly.
They're going to have to force the issue.
They're down 2 goals.
They don't like doing that. They don't like playing with the ball. They're a counter-attacking team.
Who, Houston?
Yes. And if I'm Seattle, and which I've been reading, I think they're going to allow Houston Dynamo to have the ball and try and force the issue. And then, you know, the Seattle Sounders will hit him on the counter-attack. They're in a tough position, and Houston Dynamo are missing their best player in Albert Ellis, their best attacking player, which is huge.
I mean, how big is Roman Torres being out for Seattle?
It's big, but they have suitable replacements there. And like I said, they'll be defending most of the time and hitting them on the counter. I wouldn't worry too much. I think what kind of counteracts that is the fact that Ellis is out for the Dynamo. Houston can find a way to fill in Ellis. It'll be tough, but Seattle without Roman Torres, they'll be all right.
All right, so this is how impressive Seattle are. Sounders have only conceded more than 1 goal at home on 2 times this year. 2 times. And they didn't lose either of those games. Seattle Sounders won their last 4 home games, including playoffs, by a combined score of 12-0. It's been 7 months since they've lost on this pitch.
Yeah, Seattle's real, right? I wouldn't be surprised. Toronto FC, Seattle, round 2.
Seattle's going to beat them again.
Beat TFC?
Yeah.
You're calling it now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't want to do it.
It's a different team.
I know.
It's a different Toronto FC team.
Seems like the heartbreak, man.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's the Toronto vibe.
Yeah, it just has that feeling
here.
That
if we weren't in Toronto, we'd be talking.
I'm going to go to the MLS Cup if it happens again this year.
You should. It's good times.
Yeah, Clint Dempsey's on fire right now, and he didn't play in the championship last year. But I'm liking the over in this game. I like the under 2.5 in the TFC game in 30 seconds out. But I like Seattle in the over here because Houston's going to have to open things up. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle won 3-1 or 3-0 you know what I mean? 2-1.
I like the 2-1 scoreline.
Yeah. 2-1, eh?
2-1 for Seattle.
All right, there it is. Check them out on the full 90. Al Bartani and Marty Levenwald will come back with our plays of the day, including the MLS Cup playoff picks.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, guys, we've got a full slate of action across the board tonight. Let's start off in the National Basketball Association. Let's go with the Toronto Raptors, all right? We're going to take a money line parlay with the Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs, -150. Pacers and Rockets. I think this should be a higher scoring basketball game. The total is 222. Let's go over the number 222. Last night, the Miami Heat cost us some money against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I really don't know why I'm doing this, considering they're playing back-to-back. But the Heat were humiliated last night. I think they're going to respond tonight because they were so bad last night. Heat minus the 2. Nets and Mavericks. Number feels just a little bit low to me at 209.5. Let's go over the number. Hail to the victor. Wolverine, first time in Michigan and North Carolina playing since Chris Webber's timeout. Take game. Is it revenge? Not really, but it will be to me. Give me the 9.5 with Michigan. I think they can hang around and take North Carolina down to the wire. I think the game will creep just over the number of 146. UNLV, go fight, win. UNLV got to go on the road for the first time in a pretty tough spot going up there to Northern Iowa. But I'll tell you what, they have a center, man. The real McCoy. McCoy is the real deal. Give me the Running Rebels to win this basketball game at +1. I'm going to go big money tonight. My best bets of the night. Toronto FC, Seattle, parlay, +162, plus money, baby. Columbus and TFC going to go under the number. Dynamo and Sounders over the number, and the Winnipeg Jets beat the Colorado Avalanche. May the winners be yours.